There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, it's Friday Night Live in Las Vegas. Will Hill, my co-host. And we're going to talk NFL, NBA, hockey, baseball betting, and more tonight on VSiN Tonight, the show presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. With the first pick in the VSiN co-host draft, Will Hill, I'm going with you tonight. How are you doing?
What's going on, man? I appreciate it. Good to be back with you after we were both off last Friday. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best couple days of the year when you talk about this Thursday and Friday. I mean, not too many days where you get NFL action with the draft, hockey playoffs, multiple games, NBA playoffs, multiple games, full card of baseball. So there's something for everybody. You almost, boy, that remote control gets a lot of exercise. Need a bunch of TVs and need to do a bunch of channel surf.
If you love the draft, like I do, it's a great 2 days. Do you love the draft, Will?
I do. Yeah. I think we're at the point now where it starts to, you know, you don't watch every pick. You peek in, you look every 5 picks, you kind of check in here and there. It's hard to, to just be dialed. Unless you're super, super diehard, to just be dialed into every single pick. But it's a great event. It's a great couple of days, a lot of interesting moves. I'm still trying to figure out what Atlanta did. And, you know, some of these receivers, I think, went to some interesting spots. So we'll have 3 hours to talk about it here.
Yeah, no question. We got plenty of time to talk about all that stuff tonight. And, you know, I have watched every pick of the draft so far. I had 2 TVs working, one on the NBA playoffs, one on the NFL draft before I came over here to Circa tonight. And, well, I also like to use the NFL draft as a chance to do some handicapping research on all the teams. I think it's a good way to get a read on some of these teams in the offseason, kind of remind yourself of the strengths and weaknesses of all the teams. You kind of get a read on who's got their act together and who doesn't. Falcons, who has their act together? The Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about that later in the hour. Some of the positives and negatives or passing grades and failing grades from the draft so far, and get your take on that as well. Let's go to the NBA, Will. And a really good game in Indianapolis tonight, at least an exciting finish. I don't know how well played it was, let's put it that way. But 121-118, the Pacers take down the Bucks in overtime. How about the Pacers bet all the way up to 6.5-point favorites? Never really looked like after the fourth quarter started that the Pacers were going to cover the number. But they sneak away with the win in overtime with no Greek Freak again. He's on the bench for the Bucks, and they go down 2-1 in the series. The total was 223. It goes over the total. And, Will, did you have any action on Pacers-Bucks?
Just some player props that I had to sweat out because of the ridiculous decision by Indiana to not foul at the end of regulation. You can give them a little break at the end of overtime where it was Middleton who hit 2 threes, one at the end of regulation, one at the end of overtime. The one at the end of regulation, the Bucks were daring you to foul, almost inviting the foul, dribbling along the perimeter, going side to side. All you had to do was wrap them up. There's like less than 2 seconds left. The game is basically over. I Carlisle, who I think is a good coach, maybe it's on the players, just completely ridiculous. I don't know when these coaches are going to learn, but like you said, Bucks get the cover here. Hasn't been that often that these dogs cover but don't win. We got that case today. The story here coming out now. When does Giannis come back? Because Lillard is dealing with an Achilles. He said to Rivers after the game, I guess he said during the game, and Rivers said after the game, that Lillard went to him and said, hey, I can't really explode. I need to be more of a decoy. I don't have much left in the tank. So we'll see his availability for game four. If they don't get Giannis back sooner rather than later, this is not a great Indiana team, but this is an Indiana team that's going to be moving on to the second round if Milwaukee can't get healthier.
Yeah, you're right. Damian Lillard shot 6-for-20. And the Bucks were only in position to win the game because Chris Middleton was incredible, and he banked in the three to keep the team alive. 42 points for Middleton with Lillard on a leg and a half and a Greek Freak on his butt on the bench. And how about this? The Pacers win the game, Will, despite shooting 13-for-49 from three-point range. You're not going to win a lot of games when you shoot about 50 threes and hit 26% of them. But the Pacers were able to escape. And you kind of feel like when you watch the Bucks, and maybe you felt this way for the second half of the season after Doc Rivers took over, that this is a team limping to the finish line and is about to get knocked out. I think unless the Freak returns to kind of save the team, looks like the Bucks are not going to last much longer. Do you feel the same way?
Well, I would agree with that. And despite Boston's just complete meltdown the other night against Miami, just an inexcusable loss, I still have a hard time seeing anyone in the East really push them, really beat them. I know there are issues at the end of these games. I know there are coaching issues, but man, who's actually going to step up and beat them 4 out of 7? It's hard to remember a lesser path here. I know maybe LeBron had some of these paths where there weren't any of these great teams in his way, but unless you buy into the Knicks, unless you think Embiid can stay healthy for three rounds, I mean, Indiana's not beating them. It's just the Cavs, the Magic, and these teams are just not that good. So if Boston can just get 75, 80% of their talent out, they're going to win this East, and they're probably going to win it without playing a game seven, I would think. Although, it does set up an interesting game three. Man, if I think Boston will probably win both in Miami, and we'll get to those games in that series. If they ever lost game three, that would set up a ton of pressure in game four. They cannot lose this series. They cannot get to a game seven. So I still think this is Boston's conference to win here.
Well, the one thing, I talked about this earlier in the week, don't overlook this. And a lot of people want to pave the road for the Celtics to the finals. Joe Mazzulla is a weak coach. And first of all, in this matchup, Heat Celtics, major coaching advantage for the Miami Heat. And I can't think of a series, maybe unless the Celtics run into the Bucks, where they wouldn't be at a big disadvantage in terms of coaching. And also, you got to start to question the fortitude of guys like Jason Tatum stepping up and winning games in the fourth quarter. I think the Celtics team's got some flaws. Not real high on it, but you're right. The talent might supersede everything else because they just have more talent than any other team in the East.
Yeah, I agree with all those issues. The coaching, the toughness at the end of the games, the little bit of the clutch factor that they don't seem to have. That being said, like, who do you actually think is going to beat him 4 out of 7?
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure anybody is.
Right.
I would like to say the Knicks could take him to 7, but who knows? I don't think it's going to be the Philadelphia 76ers. Anyway, let's talk about the Clippers and the Mavericks, because I thought this was going to be the best of the first round series, maybe by far. We'll see if the Clippers can take it the distance. Tonight, they're 5-point underdogs in Dallas, and they go down 101-90. And that's a 2-1 deficit now that the Clippers face, Will.
I just don't see a path for the Clippers winning this series if they're not going to get anything more than this version of Kawhi Leonard they're getting. He's limping around. He doesn't look 100%.
Right.
And they're probably the better team when they're healthy, but they're just, this is the same thing every year with them. You just go back 3-4 years, ever since these guys are together. I guess the bubble year, they were healthy, and we'll have JVT on later. And you know, he's a big Clipper fan, a big Clipper believer. I'm curious if they've broken his belief, because they're not. Dallas is too good with Luka, Kyrie. Dallas is too good. You can't beat them with Luka limping around like this. And that's a good home crowd. That was actually a bad beat for anyone who took Dallas plus the 1.5 in the second half. That was an easy win until it wasn't. Clippers with a sneaky little run in garbage time to get the cover. But to me, Dallas is going to win this series unless we can see more than what we've seen from Kawhi. And Kawhi just doesn't look like himself. And that's basically a non-starter. I don't see how they win this series unless they get major improvement. Is that something you'd agree with?
Yeah, I jumped off the Clippers bandwagon, I'm going to say, about 3 years ago.
Yeah,
and
that was a good time to jump off.
Yeah, I jumped off it a long time ago. We had Scott Pritchard in studio during the Circa Friday Football Invitational one night. Pritch has got a he had a futures bet on the Clippers, and he's a Clippers fan. He likes to go to games, and I said something negative about the Clippers in the postseason, and you would have thought I insulted his entire family. He was so upset. But it's true. Look where they are now. Backs to the wall, and you can't really see much of a path for the Clippers to win here in the first round. How about tonight? Paul George and Kawhi Leonard combined for 16 points and shot 7 for 18. Those are your two studs, and that's what you get in a Game 3 of a playoff series?
And I don't think if they lose game four, I don't think they're going to beat Dallas three in a row. I just don't. So this is, again, they would have 5-7 at home, but this is pretty much their last chance in game four. If they're going to win the series, they're going to have to do it 2-2. I don't see them win 3-0. I think Dallas is going to move on, and that would set up an interesting Dallas-OKC series where Dallas is the 5, OKC is the 1. Dallas, I would think, would be favored. Like people kind of discount Oklahoma City. Hey, they're a cute story. They've got a good future. They do have a good future. They have a great future. They also have a good present. That's a hell of a team. That's a well-coached team. So that would be a fun series as well if that's what we get. And I do think that's what we get.
Yeah, that would be. By the way, Russell Westbrook, 0-7, including 0-4. So if you consider him one of the Clippers stars, another big night for Russ. All right, we kind of buried the lead here. The Chicago White Sox got a win tonight. Well, Will Hill, they went. It's not often this happens. The White Sox had lost 7 in a row. They were 3-22, and they get the win tonight at home as big dogs against the Tampa Bay Rays. So if you were on that fade the White Sox every night trend, well, that went up in smoke tonight. Did you play the game, the Rays White Sox?
I didn't bet it, and I haven't gotten any White Sox futures in yet, but maybe I'll fire them in here on the break before the number moves too much. What an awful team. My goodness. Anyone who bet worst record in the league, like I have a bet on the Rockies. I know the Bear, Chris Felik, has a bet on the Marlins at like 40-1, which is a hell of a bet, hell of a number, except none of these bets are going to get home because I don't know how many games the White Sox are going to win in here.
The Rays are minus 225. If you laid the run and a half, it's minus 135. I had a friend who texted me about this today, and I said, look, I have not been betting against the White Sox every day, and I'm not going to start now because it feels like you're too late to the party.
Exactly.
And it's 9-4. White Sox get the win tonight, and they improved to 4-22 with that win. So, you know, if you haven't been betting against the White Sox in the first 25 games, I feel like, you know, don't jump on the trend at its end. And that's where – how bad are the White Sox? How many games, Will, do you think they're going to win?
Everybody gets to 50, right? They have to get to 50, you would think.
I don't think they're going to get to 50.
50-112, yeah, they might not. 45 wins, 50 wins, it seems like a lot at this point when you're at 4 here at the end of April.
I was going to say 45, which is a ridiculously low number, but it looks like a big number when you've only got 4 at this point. All right, quick break. We'll talk more NFL draft. Which teams are acing the draft as we head toward the end of the third round? This is VSiN Tonight.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else, So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kansas City Chiefs going for a three-peat, and it's never happened in the Super Bowl era. Will Hill, I really like what the Chiefs are doing in the offseason. And the first, they pick up Marquise Hollywood Brown, wide receiver from Arizona. They have to upgrade a wide receiver core that's been below average. Patrick Mahomes took the Chiefs to the Super Bowl with a below average receiver core. Very few explosive plays out of the wide receivers. Rashee Rice did come on late in the season. He's had some offseason issues. But now you add Hollywood Brown. And then the first round on Thursday night, Xavier Worthy, a 4-2-140 guy from the combine. Kind of a DeSean Jackson, maybe a Tyreek Hill type in that KC offense. So Xavier Worthy goes to the Chiefs, who trade with the Bills at the end of the first round last night. Well, how about tonight, near the end of the second round, the Chiefs trade with the 49ers, and I love this pick. BYU offensive tackle Kingsley Suamataia, who is a monster and is a guy who Andy Reid, the Chiefs coach, I know had gone out to Provo and worked out and really wanted, and there were a lot of draft, say, forecasters who thought that the BYU offensive tackle might go to the Chiefs at the end of the first round. They get him at the end of the second round. That's value in a draft. That's not taking Michael Penix number 8, you know, in the top 10, or taking a wide receiver in the top 10. The Chief, Brett Veach, the GM of the Chiefs, shows you how to draft. He traded up to the 10th pick in 2016 with the Bills. You think they regret this? To get Patrick Mahomes. I think when you – this is one thing when I talk about handicapping teams when you're watching the draft – you can see why the Chiefs are so good, because they know how to draft, they understand value, and they have their act together. And I'm going to give you – that's one team I'm going to say right now is acing this draft. They've had two picks at the bottom of the first round, the bottom of the second round, and I love both picks, and they've got great value out of both of them. Will, any thoughts on what the Chiefs have done or other teams that you really like, the work they've done in the draft here through the first three rounds?
Yeah, it's interesting because I agree with you on the Chiefs. Great value. Looks like they really improved the team. That was a couple of my favorite picks, so they made me happy. Chiefs to take a receiver, and I took Chiefs to draft Xavier Worthy at like 4-1. So I had a nice little draft, and that made it even sweeter last night. Mm-hmm. I really believed, hey, you kind of cut it close last year. Mahomes was getting frustrated. He was slamming stuff on the sidelines. You gave him the weapons. You got the best quarterback on the planet Earth. Give him a toy. Give him a weapon. So they do that. If you watch Worthy in college, it's a lot of him getting open and him getting overthrown, underthrown, not being able to get him the ball. That's not going to be a problem in Kansas City. And what's interesting, too, they convinced the Bills to trade with them, and they convinced the 49ers, two of their chief rivals, probably their two top rivals, to swap with them in these draft day deals. So Chiefs are going to be really good. I know it's hard to three-peat. You don't win the title in April. You got a lot of things to have to go your way, but that was very impressive what the Chiefs have done. Kind of like what the Jets have done. I was high on them last year, and who knows? If Rodgers didn't get healthy, I mean, maybe behind that offensive line, he just couldn't stay healthy, but they had the offensive lineman. They got the wide receiver from Western Kentucky. The defense is fine, so their defense is going to be good. They added to the offensive line in the offseason. So if you marry all of those moves together, the draft, free agency, I think the Jets here are going to be really good.
All right. Yeah, I kind of like what the Jets have done in this draft as well. Going back to the Chiefs, Kingsley Suamataia is 6'5", 330, and the Chiefs needed to add another body on that offensive line, and they needed a speed receiver, and they filled their two biggest needs. Now, with the Jets, you know, there were a lot of people mocking Brock Bowers to the Jets with the 10th pick. I had Bowers going to the Broncos at number 12, and I bet his prop over 11.5. I didn't see tight end as the big need for the Jets. I thought it was offensive line. And, Will, I love the pick that the Jets made at number 11. They traded back with the Vikings, moved up to 10 to get J.J. McCarthy. But Olu Fashanu, the tackle from Penn State, was, I thought, an outstanding pick by the Jets at number 11, resisting the urge to go with the skill position player and building that offensive line, which they had to do.
Rodgers got hurt last year. If Rodgers gets hurt this year, they all get fired. So let's give this a chance. If Rodgers, if we can't keep him healthy, none of us are keeping our jobs. That's what the Jets were thinking. That was my whole thinking into why I thought the Jets would take an offensive lineman. I bet that way before free agency. So I was kind of nervous with those moves. Hey, maybe they'll go receiver. And maybe if Odunze had dropped to them, maybe they would have gone in that direction. But you can't argue with that. Protect Rodgers. Just give him a chance with Wilson, with Williams, with this kid from Western Kentucky. In that defense, you're going to have a chance. That's going to be fun to watch. I hope we get to see it. That was disappointing last year, seeing Rodgers get hurt after four plays. That was just a fun storyline. I want to see him on that team. That fan base has been so snake-bitten. That team and franchise have been so snake-bitten. I do want to see how that plays out. So I thought that was a good pick. If we're still bouncing around here, I thought Washington's added some talent. You know, they had the guy from Michigan who Saban said, hey, this guy could be the best player in the draft, which if anybody else say it, we'd be like, oh, you're crazy. But when it's Saban, you have to take that into account and show some respect to that opinion. Anytime you're picking at the top of the draft, you can say this about the Bears too. People always love their drafts. Like the Bears had two top 10 picks and all of a sudden, oh my God, they got two good players. Well, yeah, you're picking 1 and 9. You're going to get some good players. That 8.5 for the Bears, I think that'll tick up to 9. I don't know that we'll get to 9.5, but there seems to be a lot of optimism, a lot of enthusiasm for what the Bears did. So if you do like the 8.5 over, maybe get that now, maybe get your futures now if you're going to bet them. But Washington's a team too. I think they added some good players.
Who were you talking about? The Washington player that Saban mentioned. Who was that?
I'm drawing a blank on the name. The defensive back from Michigan. Look it up here in a second.
Was he picked today?
Yeah.
Okay. Sandstrom?
Yes.
It's interesting. He said he might be the best player in the draft?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Now, I like him as a player. That's wow. I was watching the draft today, but I was actually watching NFL Network, not ESPN, so I didn't hear Nick Saban say that. I thought the Commanders have had a pretty strong draft, too. They've had a lot of picks and made pretty good use of those picks. But, of course, I like Jaden Daniels, and I'm biased to him as well. I think they got the best quarterback in this draft, picking number two. I was looking through – oh, Sandstrom went 50th overall to the Commanders. In the middle of the second round, right before the Colts took Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver from Texas, which was another pick I kind of like there in the second round. You know, Will, I've been scratching my head a little bit about the 49ers draft. I don't really know what the Niners are doing here. I don't like it so much. And it's not the first time the 49ers have screwed up the draft. They saved themselves with the Brock Purdy pick a couple of years ago in 2022. That was a disastrous draft for the 49ers. But I'll tell you who I do like. I think the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, has done a really good job in his first one. You know, last night, number 5 pick, Joe Alt, 6'9", offensive tackle from Notre Dame. How did Harbaugh build at Michigan with a dominant offensive line? He's going to start doing that with the Chargers. Build a big, physical offensive line. You're going to run the ball, give Justin Herbert a lot of help. First, you got to give him help up front. Fans and the media love to talk about the skill position players. You got to build the offensive line first. Harbaugh knows that. He did that with Joe Alt, that pick number 5. How about what the Chargers did today? Then they get a receiver for Herbert. They get Ladd McConkey from Georgia, who's an outstanding route runner, great hands. I think a very dependable receiver. I like that pick. And then you knew that Harbaugh was going to get a Michigan guy, right? And he did, I'm going to say, late in the second round, or was it early third round? It was Colson. The defensive back from Michigan went to the Chargers in the third round. And Junior Colson, the linebacker from Michigan, was the 5th pick of the third round, 69th overall. He led that team in tackles the last 2 years. Just a tough football player and a guy that I think perfectly fits what Jim Harbaugh is trying to do with the culture of the Chargers. So I don't want to go over the top of the Harbaugh hype, but 3 picks – and I think they've got 3 hits so far here in the draft, and you can tell that the Chargers are going to be headed in a more positive direction. They don't have the clueless coach, and they're not going to be such a clumsy operation anymore. Harbaugh is going to get this thing fixed.
Yeah, and he, I mean, not only did he build through the running game, the offensive line in Michigan, but same thing with the 49ers. That was more of a smash mouth run first team when he took over and did such a good job for the 49ers almost a decade or so ago. I like his quote. I don't know if you saw this. He said, "You guys are going to ask me about weapons. We're going to talk about weapons. To me, the offensive line is a weapon. It's the tip of the spear." I kind of like that quote. When, look, he's a hard-nosed guy. I think that was, again, not to sit here and victory lap all our picks. I think you were on all corner of the Chargers. I was on all corner of the Chargers at plus 450. I actually had Latham 20-1 too, which closed like even money. So I was actually kind of rooting for Latham. But Harbaugh's kind of an upfront and blunt guy. He's a meat and potatoes guy. He was telling you, hey, we need to build through the offensive line. We need to run the ball. When Harbaugh talks, I don't look at him like, hey, he's trying to trick you. He's trying to misdirect you. He's being upfront with you. And I don't think he was worried about anyone jumping him. So I'd be interested to hear from the books and the sports book directors in terms of booking the draft, whether it's good when it's predictable or it makes it easier to price when it's predictable, or it's harder because people know it's coming. But I thought that was a good pick. And I like a lot of these receivers caught on to nice landing spots. We mentioned Worthy with Mahomes. McConkey goes to Herbert. Coleman from Florida State goes to the Bills. So the Western Kentucky kid goes to the Jets. So a lot of these receivers, that's the problem. When your neighbors, you go six, you got Daniel Jones. When you're some of these other quarterbacks, when you're some of these other receivers, you go high in the draft, you don't have the best quarterback situation. Some of these guys got good ones.
All right, we got Matt Grill of DraftKings coming up. College football opening numbers are up for week zero and week one at DraftKings. It went up last night. Dylan Sullivan of Circa is going to be on hour number two to talk NFL draft betting. Stay tuned here to VSiN tonight.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSIN.com, that's where you should go right now. We got best bets, the betting splits page, columns with plenty of analysis, including this one. Post first round NFL futures best bets from Mike Somich. Usual content on the NBA, NHL, and MLB as well. All right, let's go out to the progressive guest line now. Bring in Matt Grill, oddsmaker from DraftKings, and talk a little NFL draft and college football. Grill, welcome in on Friday night. Have you followed the first three rounds of the NFL draft? What have the betting results been like for DraftKings Sportsbook, if you know?
Yeah, hey, Matt. Been a fun couple nights with the draft, as always. Obviously, we had a really big menu of betting options, and everyone always has a lot of fun with these. The bookmakers, not so much. Always a tough prospect to win with these each year, although I'll tell you what, yesterday we came out okay. We actually made a little bit on the draft. Not sure about the results tonight quite yet. But it's been an interesting draft. You know, everyone thinks they always know how it's going to go. Then something crazy happens, as we saw yesterday with the Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. Inside the top 10. And then, of course, the last two rounds today, no more QB selected after having six in the first round. So, you know, again, a lot of unpredictability. Every year is very interesting. The draft seems to be evolving and morphing each year. So, just can't wait for this event each year. It's a fun event. In fact, earlier today, we actually already put up odds on the number one pick for next year, if you can believe it.
I can believe it. Will Hill, who do you think the favorite is to be the top pick in the 2025 draft?
I would guess it's a relative of Deion Sanders. That would be my guess.
Shedeur Sanders, would he be the favorite? Is that right, Matt Grill, or not?
He is, guys. Great guess on that. He's the even money favorite right now, Shedeur. Obviously flashed a lot of talent with not much of an O-line in year one. So going to be very interesting to see how he does this year. But I'll tell you what, guys, this time last year, if I'm not mistaken, we opened up Caleb Williams. I think it was minus 500. He was about as big of a slam dunk as far as you could possibly have in the draft, I think. So next year is going to be pretty wide open. There's, the quarterback class is probably not going to be as good. It's a lot of different names. So the two second favorites here are tied at 3-1, Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers. Some other quarterbacks up in the air, they're possibly for number one pick odds. Drew Aller, plus 850, the quarterback from Penn State, big frame. Jalen Milroe, plus 950. Cameron Ward is up there as well, 15-1. Then if anyone's wondering, Travis Hunter, that dynamic two-way star, we got him 22-1. Pretty tough for a cornerback to go number one in the draft, but would an NFL team actually try to risk playing a guy two ways? Don't know, but that guy might be the most talented player in the draft coming out next year.
I'll tell you what, Will Hill, if Quinn Ewers is the number one pick of next year's draft, I'm going to fall out of my chair. I might just go out and buy Matt Grill a new sport coat or something like that, because that's not going to happen. Yeah, because Ewers is not going to be the top pick. Will, anything you like there in the top pick of next year's draft? Do you think it's going to be Sanders?
You stole my thunder because you picked on yours. I said if Drew Aller is the number one pick in the draft, that GM should not only be fired, maybe a prison sentence would be in order. But, Matt, I'm curious. You mentioned the first five or seven picks, they're kind of chalk, they're predictable. Then eight, we get chaos. What makes the draft harder to book? Is it when it's predictable, or can you price that right, or is it when it's unpredictable? What's kind of scarier? What's kind of tougher about booking the draft, predictable or unpredictable?
Yeah, great question, Will. And, you know, I think it's always unpredictable. So you just do your best. There's so much that happens in the lead up. You know, I think that it was Jaden Daniels the day before. He moved to a huge favor for number two. Then Drake May moved to a huge favor for number three. So it was pretty much a foregone conclusion who those first couple picks were going to be. At number five with Joe Alt, that might have been not a surprise, but, you know, that one could have gone a couple different ways. You know, J.J. McCarthy there falling behind Michael Penix. You know, if I don't believe we had a matchup up on those two, but if there would have been, I mean, J.J. McCarthy would have been probably -800, -$1,000 favorite to go ahead of Michael Penix, and then, you know, it doesn't happen, and that just basically causes the dominoes to start falling, and usually that's good for us just because, you know, people try to map this out best they can. It only lasts so far, and then once that first domino falls, that's usually going to help us out, and things start getting a little bit weird.
I noticed pretty early this morning, late last night, you already had offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year markets. That's about as early as I can remember. Guys that weren't even drafted yet, you had numbers on. Am I remembering that right? Is that the earliest you've had these markets available?
Yeah, guys, we like to have these up the night of the draft just because, you know, people are excited about their teams and all these new players, so they want to bet this stuff, right? So we like to put up those offensive, defensive player of the year odds right away. Had those up last year pretty early as well. So our NFL team, they do a really good job pricing this. They work with us on this as well for some more information about these guys because we have the knowledge on the college side with myself and my team. So just really fun and just, you know, get the juices flowing and people to start betting on NFL here in April. Always a good thing for us as the sports book.
We see some week zero lines here, some marquee matchups. LSU laying 6 to USC, Georgia laying 13.5 to Clemson, A&M laying 2 versus Notre Dame. Anything that's gotten hit early here in these popular games?
Yeah, guys. So last night, we kind of snuck these in. We put up the week zero lines. We put up some of all the weekday FBS week one lines and then some of the marquee week one lines as well. I think we did all the FBS versus FBS matchups. So we're first up with a couple of these games, and not the best slate, fellas, but we actually were able to sneak in Colorado there. They've got a tough game right away playing North Dakota State. Of course, the hype is going to be back with the Deion train in Colorado again. So they're laying 7, -$1.20 against North Dakota State. Actually already got up South Dakota State, the dominant champion from last year. They're going to go into Stillwater, play Oklahoma State. That's going to be an interesting game. We got that sitting 7 right now. We took a couple early bets on Okie State today. Could see some movement there pretty quickly. We're first up with that. So South Dakota State loses quite a bit off that team. But as we know, South Alabama went into Stillwater last year as they were on a similar underdog 7-8 points and just dominated the Cowboys before the Cowboys went on their run to contend the Big 12. So got some fun matchups here, guys. Of course, the big one is going to be that Clemson-Georgia game. These teams have been playing a lot in the last couple of years. Georgia is definitively, I think, the number one team going into next year. Ohio State may be right behind them. They're laying 13.5 versus Clemson here in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in week one.
Matt Grill, DraftKings oddsmaker with us. All right, Grill, back to week zero. Florida State, 13.5 point favorite against Georgia Tech. That game is in Dublin, Ireland, I believe. And then you got Minnesota -1 against North Carolina. Colorado -7 against North Dakota State. These are week zero games to kick off the college football season. I know somebody who's going to like North Dakota State to win that game straight up. That number might look a little thin to some people. The Buffaloes laying 7 there, but what do you anticipate? Where do you think that closes? And do you think the public is going to be on the Buffaloes?
I do. I mean, that was the case all last year, right, guys? And they're bringing back all these stars for year two. Deion, you know, he's had a lot of guys transfer out during the spring. I think it was 11 guys last I heard. So it's going to be that rotating door at Colorado. He's going to get in some talent. Ultimately, he's got to get in a defense, and he's got to get in an offensive line to protect Shadur, to give him time to get the ball out to these talented guys. Obviously, North Dakota State, everyone who follows the sport knows they are no slouch. So I think they're going to have their hands full with the Bison here with Colorado. But if things go right for Deanna in the spring and the lead up, it's a number they could cover. We could see, maybe see this number increase as we get closer to kickoff.
All right, week one, Texas A&M minus two against Notre Dame. Miami minus two against Florida. Georgia laying 13.5 to Clemson. And LSU 6 against USC. And, Grill, that game is in Vegas. LSU 6. It looks like a big number for LSU to be laying without Jaden Daniels, a quarterback.
Yeah, fellas, they bring in Garrett Nussmeier at QB. He played the bowl game. He's got some talent. He was a highly recruited guy there for LSU. So I think he's going to come in. I don't want to say miss a beat because, I mean, Jaden Daniels, he was putting up otherworldly numbers and all-time numbers there for LSU, a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like Ryan Kelly, he always does a good job. It's going to be year three for him. USC obviously losing Caleb. So, I mean, it's too bad we didn't get this game last year, fellas. It would have been an all-time QB matchup. But still going to be a fun one in the desert here with USC. They're going to be breaking a new QB, either Miller Moss or Jaden Mayava from UNLV, who will be playing in his old home stadium potentially. That should be a good one to kick off things in Vegas here. I'm hoping to get to that game myself, Matt.
Hey, Grill, one last question here. Since you put up these college football opening numbers, it's a two-part question. Have you taken much action on these in the last 24 hours? And Georgia laying 13.5 to Clemson also looks like a big number. Is Clemson going to be that down this season?
You know, Matt, until Dabo starts changing his philosophy there, starts bringing in some transfers, I think they're just going to keep a little bit on a decline, this Clemson program. Never been a fan of Cade Klubnik. Don't really like what he's doing. He's back at QB. Georgia, just from everything I'm hearing, you know, Carson Beck looked good in the spring. As we all know, they're just so talented, so they're this loaded. These opening games they play, they usually dominate these things. So I think it's going to be tough for Clemson to keep up with scoring on this. So, sitting 13.5 right now, could see this going either way. It's a lot of points just on paper to see Clemson getting, but I think the number's correct for right now.
All right, I know some bettors looking to fire on these DraftKings numbers for college football opening lines for week zero, week one, up at DK. Hey, Matt Grill, appreciate the time on Friday night. We'll catch you next week. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. And keep a lookout, guys, for next week. Dropping some games of the year very soon.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, good deal. Quick break here. We'll come back, talk some baseball betting on VSiN tonight.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't Don't miss any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and much more. Download the DK Sportsbook app and use code VSEN. New customers bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. The code is VSIN, only on DraftKings. All right, we talked about the Chicago White Sox getting an unlikely win tonight. Tampa Bay Rays were minus 230 at DraftKings. If you laid the run and a half, minus 135, and the White Sox get the win on the south side of Chicago tonight, 9-4, a blowout in favor of the White Sox. Will Hill, the New York Yankees lose in extras. Have you tracked this game? The Yankees close minus 142, and they lose 7-6 at Milwaukee.
Yeah, tough loss, and I saw the stat about their road record in extra inning games the last couple of years, 3-15, something really bad. And it feels like that if you watch this team or you follow this team regularly. They just, anytime they go on the road in these extra inning games, it just feels like, I don't know. I don't know how you feel. Anytime I have money on a game, a money line, and it goes to extra innings, I just feel like I always lose those games. I hate the ghost runner. It gives you anxiety, that runner on second, especially when you're the road team. If you don't cash that run in, and usually you need a second run, you're not going to win that game. There have been some flaws here. The starting pitching's not great, like we knew. They got nothing out of Gleyber Torres. The infield defense isn't great. You still got Soto. Judge will come around here. This is a good team. This isn't a great team. I still think that's going to be a down-to-the-wire pennant race with them in Baltimore. So tough loss against Milwaukee. One of the bigger picture things we've talked about, too, in baseball, all these pitcher injuries, we got another wave of them. These seem to come in waves, like two or three at a time. This morning, Jesus Luzardo's going for testing. Zach Gallen left his start tonight. He's going to be looked at with an MRI, I think. And Wade Miley, Tommy John surgery. So, my goodness, it's hard to keep these pitchers healthy.
Well, one pitcher who's healthy but is not throwing the ball well is Joe Musgrove of the Padres. Oof. I mentioned this last night with Wes Reynolds. We were highlighting the top games and best bets on the Friday night card. And Joe Musgrove off to a really rough start for the Padres. And tonight he gets roughed up again. 3 2/3 innings, 7 earned runs, knocked off the mound by the Phillies, who lead 9-3 in the bottom of the seventh in San Diego. That was a good pitching matchup on paper, at least in terms of names. Aaron Nola against Joe Musgrove, but Musgrove has not been the same so far this season.
No, he's been really bad, and I missed that one because I was going over it, and I meant to bet Philly, and I didn't for whatever reason. So that's one. You know how it goes. When you think about making a bet and you don't, you're just constantly rooting against. So I'm sitting here rooting for the Padres like I've got thousands of dollars. I don't have a dollar on this game, and every time I see, Real Muto hit a home run, Philly scored again, I'm just like, it feels like I'm losing the bet even though I don't have a dollar on the bet. So that's interesting.
Phillies are playing, by the way, the Phillies are playing home run derby tonight. Bryce Harper hit one.
Yeah.
Nick Castellanos hit his first of the season. He finally gets on the board. JP Realmuto hits a homer. Kyle Schwarber and Brandon Marsh. Five home runs tonight for the Phillies in that game.
Is that it?
Yep.
That's it.
All the big
and
names.
It does seem like, too, I know some of the players have talked about it, and it's starting to catch some attention that the balls are different. I mean, you mentioned Castellanos, only his first homer. Acuna, Julio Rodriguez didn't homer until the other day. Some of these big-name guys that are really low with the homers, and baseball's had a reputation for messing around with these balls. Some years they're juice, some years they're dead. It appears like this is one of these years where, for whatever reason, the ball's just not flying out like it used to. So keep that in mind when you're betting these games. When you get tonight, like a night like tonight, where the ball is just flying all over the place, and we got the series in Mexico City. I wanted to ask Matt about it, but we were too busy talking football. I'm curious how they came up with these numbers, because I don't know if you saw this at DraftKings. The over/under for Astros Rockies. Do you know what it is? Top of your head? Do you want to guess?
No, but I'll tell you this. Matt Grill's not a baseball odds maker, so he wouldn't answer to your question anyway.
There you go.
The total for Astros Rockies in Mexico City?
Yes.
I'm going to say 18 and a half.
Close. 17.
Okay.
So hard to come up with those numbers because it feels like you can't make it high enough. I know they played in London last year and they played in Mexico City, and sometimes they over-adjusted. It'll be interesting to go from one game to the next. If we get like 23 runs or something crazy tomorrow, they'll just jack it up the second day. So keep that in mind. But I feel like it's hard to price these because you feel like you're hanging a bad number. No, I mean, it's just, you bet baseball every day. It's very startling to see a 17 over-under.
Well, I watched both games. I think there were two games in Mexico City last year, right? Yep. And the first one was a complete joke with all the runs that were scored.
Yes.
The total got jacked up, and then the second game stayed under.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it was – I think it was Padres. I can't remember who they played, but it was the Padres. And yeah, it was like a beer league softball game where there was – in the 20s. I don't know if they played the Rockies or one of these other teams, but it was just – like you said, it was a complete joke.
Giants. I thought it was Padres-Giants.
Yep, you're 100% right. It was the Giants. Yep. But that scenario laid out was 100% what happened. Yep.
All right, so what do you make of the Mets at this point? The Mets were -125 home favorites tonight. Miles Michaelis and the Cardinals take them down 4-2. A lot of people wrote the Mets off as 6 feet under, dead and buried, about a week and a half into the season. They're back. What's your take on the Mets?
500 team.
Yeah,
okay. I played under 82.5 because I thought, hey, with Sango, just get ahead of the number.
I like that bet.
I did think they could hit. And they can't hit. Now, losing Alvarez is a big blow. He tore his thumb. He's a dynamic young catcher, ton of power. He's going to be a good player. So that hurts them. But they get J.D. Martinez finally making his debut tonight. I mean, when you look at Nimmo, Alonso, Lindor, J.D. Martinez, McNeil Martinez, I mean, that's a good professional major league lineup. Decent arms in the bullpen. They've gotten okay starting pitching. Severino's given them some decent starts. But to me, that screams like an 81-81 team. Hey, when you're 500, could you catch a few breaks and get lucky and get to 85, 86 and sneak in the playoffs and then say, hey, anything can happen?
Right.
I'm a Met fan. If I'm on that team in the organization, that's not an unreasonable scenario where I sneak my way to 84, 85, win some close games with Diaz at the back of the game. And who knows? I'm in a wild card spot, and we've seen these teams get hot in the playoffs. So if you want to be optimistic about the Mets, maybe the playoffs are not out of reach. But to me, this is just a completely mediocre 500 team. It would be interesting come deadline if they're kind of
on
the fringes of the playoff. Do they go for it? Do they say, hey, this isn't our year, let's not fool ourselves? That'll be an interesting way to look at it. But to me, they're just kind of an average team.
No, I agree. I think this short burst where they've been winning games is going to fade away at some point, and the Mets are going to be a team to win 70-some games. Hopefully you win your bet. I was going to bet the Mets win total under 2, but I was a little bit too late to get the best number. I didn't want to be, like to say, late to the party on that one, so I passed. But I think the Mets got to be a 70-something win team, and I think you got to – you played it under 82.5, right?
Under 82.5, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's still going to be a good bet, despite the Mets' resurgence and improved play here the last couple weeks. Hey, one more I wanted to throw at you from baseball tonight. Big upset. The Baltimore Orioles with Corbin Burnes on the mound went off -290 at DraftKings, and they go down to the Oakland A's, who are not as bad as everybody thought.
Nope.
The first week or two of the season, Ross Stripling got to start tonight for the A's, and they win 3-2 in Baltimore.
Yeah, the A's, we just saw them play the Yankees. They were plunky. They won the game on Monday, hit a home run late, stole the game tonight against Baltimore. The big picture for Baltimore, Kimbrel might be an issue. They might have to address that. It's hard to trust Kimbrel at the end of these games.
Sure.
He can lose the plate. He can give up homers. I do not trust him on a big game. He used to be good, but he's been on a million teams. I would not trust him, so keep that in mind with Baltimore. But Oakland's got some pieces. I mean, Blackburn gives you a decent start. Stripling is a professional starter. Mason Miller, I don't know if you've seen him. Him at the end of the games, oh, my God, he is incredible. 103-104. He's really hard to hit. So
sure.
Their season win total, I think, was like 56.5. I know some people that bet over. I think Chris the Bear Fleek bet him over, and he's like, man, it's up to 63.5, 64.5. Do I buy back and head for a middle? Looks like you got a winner at the 56.5. Again, these bad teams, they can be feisty early and then hit the skids middle of the summer, just kind of run out of pitching. But they've at least got some pieces. You're at least starting to see the seeds of, hey, maybe a year or two they can be like a 500 team. This is not the worst team in the league. This is not, I mean, they were basically the White Sox last year. This is not the White Sox anymore. This is not a terrible team.
Okay, I lied. I'm going to throw one more at you. Chris Sale tonight for the Braves. They get the win. Sale went off as a 270 favorite against the Guardians, 6-2. Sale and the Braves get the win tonight.
Yeah, they need Sale because with Strider out, I mean, you're going to need some pitching to step up. Morton's an older guy. He has a tendency to get hurt at the end of the year. Sale's a guy you can't really count on. So out of Sale and Morton, you're going to need one of them. You got Freed, and you probably still need another pitcher. But look, this Braves team obviously is just loaded 1-9, as good as anybody. So Sale is a huge X factor for them. Again, keeping him healthy for 6, really 7 months into October. Looks good in April. Let's see how he looks in July, August, September.
Probably not as good, but I tell you what, he looks pretty good in April, better than I thought he was going to be tonight. 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, struck out 6. Very impressive start tonight for Chris Sale and the Braves win over Cleveland. All right, we're going to take a break. Dylan Sullivan was the chief odds maker for the NFL draft here at Circa Sports. A year ago, it was Nick Bogdanovich, and Circa had a winning draft, believe it or not, despite all the bookmakers whining about how much they hate to book the draft. Circa put up a big menu. I think the biggest in Vegas. I know Caesars William Hill put up a pretty good menu of draft props. Circa put up a lot. We'll find out what the results are. Dylan Sullivan's going to join us in studio next. And final hour tonight, JVT on the NBA. So stay tuned to VSiN Tonight, the Sports Betting Network.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.